Hello again, friends. Thank you so much for joining me here at the Wisdom of the Wilderness podcast. I am your host, Greg, and as always on this podcast, we are here to share wisdom gained from time spent in nature with a dose of inspirational and empowering stories of everyday people moving through uncharted territory, both literal and figurative. I am grateful you have chosen to spend part of your time today with me, listening to cool things and cool people. And without any further ado, let's get to this week's episode. Hello there, friends. We are back for another episode of the Wisdom of the Wilderness, and we're going to try our best with the audio on this. It's a little bit noisy where I am, and somebody packed so well they can't find the microphone. So, Yep, we're on fire today, but not actual fire like we were a year ago at Deadman Peaks 106 that I DNF'd. So it's a good day. But I am coming to you from Scottsdale, Arizona, where I have been spending time. I just finished up an awesome experience at the Javelina 100 out at Fort McDowell. And I wanted to share about my experience with that because ultra running is incredible and awesome and the people are fantastic. And I didn't record last year's because of getting prepped for the 100 miler that I didn't finish. And, so many things have happened that like, I don't even really remember. Stuff's all kind of a blur. So I wanted to get into, cool, this is my experience being a volunteer and a pacer and part of a crew and all of the other fun stuff that happened. Before I do that, what is Javelina? Javelina 100 is a 100-mile race and a 100K race at McDowell Mountain Regional Park just outside of Phoenix, Arizona. It's a gorgeous location. It is a five-loop course. Each loop is approximately 20 miles, and runners have a set amount of time to finish the race in. You can get a special buckle for if you're under 24 hours, and then let me do the real quick math in my head, 6 a.m., until noon, that would be 30 hours to finish the race. Last year I had a great experience doing everything. And this year I showed up on earlier to help with everything. So I got there on the Tuesday, and that's when we set up. It actually started on Sunday. So this is a huge event. There's approximately 1,500 people running it. There's also a 31K or 20-mile night race that happens entirely in the dark. It is a giant festival party atmosphere, music on the go, fire dancers on the go, lots of expos, lots of people come out for this race. It's one that logistics are fairly simple. You come through a loop at the start and at the end of every lap that you do. You come in through this loop in the Four Peaks Trailhead parking lot. So you go by 10 by 10 crew tents. Your crew can be there. It's accessible from Phoenix very easily. So it's very easy to have a large entourage come for this. So knowing that there's about 1,500 runners and vendors and outhouses and set up takes a while. So I got there Tuesday. And help us setting up some of the bigger tents, 20 by 30 tents, 20 by 10 tents, and then 10 by 10 pop-ups, as well as camping tents, because the whole tent village is created by Air Viper Running, who puts the race on. It's quite the sight to behold. So mostly that was Tuesday. It was helping with set up tents and moving stuff around. And then I was right parked at the trailhead, so I went for a run right after I was done. This regional park also has showers, so I could have a great shower there. It's the desert, so pretty much you're dry when you walk outside, especially when it's in the mid-80s. And then I headed off to meet up with my friend in Scottsdale, who was running the 100-miler, got some Trader Joe's groceries, and got the cheapest gas I've got this entire trip at a Walmart in Scottsdale. To the point, it was about $1 a gallon cheaper than the other side of town that I'd been on the weekend. So very happy, very happy. Wednesday, I woke up, was on the road very early to head out to the park again and volunteer. I did a real quick out and back run for part of the, I'm actually doing a 50K on the same park in December. So I checked out some of that course on really quick out and back because I knew I'd be volunteering a lot and I was going to go to a group run that evening. But yeah, the setup on this, there's a lot of logistics. There are three aid stations plus the main aid. They all need get water, get food, get shade structures set up, get the 10 by 20 tent set up, little kitchens built out there for the aid station, outhouses get delivered. It becomes a little village. So my day started off by filling 5-gallon water jugs for about 2 hours. There were that many. And in between that, we were unloading big industrial-sized coolers, which are full of empty water jugs. So I was already doing squat city workout and leg day by the time it was 10. And then it was super cool. I got to ride out to some remote aid stations with the race director and an employee and deliver water and portable toilets all over the place. Help set up a tent, take down a tent. Come back for a snack and lunch, and then take more water, toilets, and ice chests over to Coyote Camp, the first aid station. Finished that off about 4 o'clock, and there was a bunch of volunteers I'd met that day, a bunch of people I recognized from other events that I was at last year, some of the races I was at last year. Actually, tying into the story, there was one woman that morning, and I was unloading a moving van for a while. And it's like this. Nope, that was the next day. Never mind. We'll get to that on the next day. But yeah, and I was all set to go to this group run. I'd also been really sunblasted all day. And group run was at 6:30. And I decided at 6, I was like, you know what? I'm tired. It's dark at 6:30. This might be my last night to get actual sleep until Monday. So myself and the volunteer I was going to go with decided, yep, hey, yeah, we're going to go sleep in our vehicles and call this a night. So I was actually in bed by 8:15 that night, and I'm very glad I did that because I woke up Thursday morning super early. I was up at 5:30. I was on the trail at 6. I did a nice little 7-mile loop, including the last little bit of the race that I figured I'd be pacing. I'd actually agreed to pace my old coworker who finished Javelina last year, Jen Wager, and she dropped out from the race. And then the second person that I was potentially going to pace also dropped out from the race. So I really enjoyed my experience pacing at it last year, and I wanted to pace, but I didn't want to commit to pacing somebody I didn't know or somebody who wanted to run a very fast pace because I knew I'd also be volunteering for a good chunk of that day, and it's the hot desert. So, did my 7-mile run, finished off the last little bit of the course so I'd actually see it in the daylight because I've only seen that part of the course in the dark. We were unloading a moving van with a whole bunch of stuff for the race expo on Friday. And there are two people who are up in the middle of the van. And in my head is like, I recognize you and I recognize you, but I can't place you, remember your name, but I know I have volunteered with or raced with you before. And it turns out I had raced Black Canyon 100K and volunteered with the first volunteer whose name I forget already. I think it's Aaron. Who had actually come off of her through hike of the Arizona Trail to take a 0-day and volunteer at this race. So that was really cool to see her. And the other one is my new friend Heidi, who I ended up pacing because at Javelina 2022, when her friend was thinking about dropping out at mile 76, I asked if the guy who was there was her boyfriend, and they're now married. And her friend kept going and finished. And Heidi was the pacer that came up and asked me if I could come help and talk to her friends. I was like, I know you. Oh yeah, that's right. But you look different because she had cut her long hair significantly. So that was really cool. And she mentioned that she would be doing the 100 miler and thought she might need a pacer, but wasn't certain. I was like, well, of course, dude, like I know you, I've spent a good chunk of the day working with you. Like if you want to do it, let's do it. So that was great. From there, I helped set up the exit for a bit and then was sent out to check people in for their parking passes when they entered the park. So from 10:30 until 4, I stood in the sun on the side of the road and I got 9 miles of movement tracked off of my iPhone, just going back and forth up and down the road. It was that busy getting people to check in, get their parking pass, send them in to check out the the expo area, the main tent, get all that organized. So that was another long hot day. I got a nice little tan, met some really cool people, talked to some amazing runners and pacers and crew, and just gave a lot of information and direction. So that was really fun. Then I met a friend of mine, and we carpooled out to the happy hour and reconnected with a bunch of people I'd met last year, racing, volunteering, running. That was pretty sweet. I didn't win any prizes, but it was a lot of fun to head out there. And then I got to drive a friend's car back to the park where they were camped. And I was like, holy cow, there's this button on this Kia that if you press the button, the car steers itself. It's super duper creepy and I don't like it. And I really like my truck that requires me to drive it. It was a strange experience to be sitting behind the wheel as the car was steering itself through corners, dark and windy roads with animals in the area. So yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but each their own. I like my old Tacoma that, I can still work on all the stuff in it. I can change the oil. I can do that. There's no newfangled electronic stuff or kill switches or anything. So that is good. But yeah, I got back there, helped my friends unload their stuff, and then take their little, I don't know, what do you call it, utility cart, I guess, over to their campsite. And then I was like, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed again. So I had a very quick shower and then went to bed. It had been about 82, and I was in the direct sun for most of the day, which I'm used to from the summer from being out back at the Kook when the temperature's that high. But it has not been that high for quite a while, and it was not that high when I was in Montana or Wyoming or the last month or so that I was working. So, yeah, definitely felt it that day. And I woke up Friday to this very nice waffle tan where I'd had a particular hat on for the volunteer position I had, just a mesh hat, and I had it on backwards, so it was shading the back of my neck. And I had a very nice waffle tan on the top of my head. So, hooray! And that gets us to Friday. So Friday, the 27th, once again, I was up before the sun and out on the trails. Had a beautiful sunrise run along the course for a nice 8 miles. Ran the last little loop of the course just to see what it would feel like. When I paced in 2022, I ran out on the loop, and then I didn't complete the loop as my runner wanted to finish on his own. So I snuck out just past the expo tent and ran through the tent city and met him at the finish line. So that was sweet. So I had a quick shower. I made breakfast for some friends because I wasn't starting my thing till 10:30. And then I was at registration until 7:30. And let me tell you, that was so much fun. I'd been all over the place volunteering, doing setup, helping Margaret with toilets, driving down crazy 4x4 roads in a giant box truck. It was a blast. And this time I got to be in a runner-facing role, and I really enjoy those. So the expo opened. There's a massive lineup of people to come and get their package, get their backpack. There was a whole bunch of merchandise at the expo tent. Like I said, 1,500 runners coming in, so that was a lot. It was fun. I got to see a bunch of faces that had already checked in for their parking passes. Saw a few people I'd met just being out at the gate, answered a whole bunch of questions, saw people that I'd seen, at other races, at other events, even people that recognized me from last Javelina. There's one particular runner who I talked to for a long time at an aid station, and she walked right up like, oh my gosh, I remember you talking to me at this aid station last year. So it was just really neat to connect. It's a really small community, and people are really awesome. So that was a lot, just basically standing there handing out registration info, watching all the brand new merchandise pretty much sell out. That was most of the Friday. I know I'm on the live stream video a bunch for where I was volunteering, what was happening there. I know I'm seen myself on a bunch of Aravipa videos of registration setup, here we are live at registration. Here we are live at the finish line. That was just super sweet. So I was there till about 7:30. Was going to make dinner for friends, but they weren't so hungry. So I was like, great, I'm just going to go have a bowl of cereal and go to bed because Saturday is going to be a long day. And then Saturday the 28th was game day, race day. Game on, friends. So the first runners are going out at 6. I woke up at about 3:30 when they flipped the giant floodlight on. And while I had picked a better location to park in for sleep this year, I still had my truck facing the east. And when that light came on in the east, I didn't have the blackout curtain on. Actually, I had the canopy up. It was such a nice and warm night for fresh air. And I was like, ugh, dang it. Now I'm awake. I'm really not good at going back to sleep once I've woken up. I can kind of doze and then end up feeling super groggy. So I was like, fuck, it's 3:30, but I might as well. I did my little guided meditation to manifest your soulmate. And then I got up and I took a luxurious shower because I knew it was going to be a long day. I was going to pace at night. And I was like, I might as well shower and shave and look great because you never know who you're going to meet. What cute woman you might be, et cetera, et cetera. So did that. I like second breakfast. I'm not very big on first breakfast. And at 5 a.m., I decided it would be a really good idea to force myself to have a big bowl of oatmeal because I didn't know the next time I might eat actual food that wasn't just snacks. Or my volunteer position is a javelina swinger, so I'm doing whatever the swinging hallelujah the race director needs. Didn't know what that might be. I love it that way. I'm an operations guy. Most of my jobs have been in operations management, whether it was resource industry, tourism, different form of tourism that it is now, working for the Outdoor Foundation, whatever Knowles. I get it. There's 1,000 things happening and you got to make quick decisions and it's always different and fast paced and it's great. It's what I love to do. I live for it. So, flying blind. Anyway, so I had some food and then I walked over and, I basically played ping pong between different people, seeing who needed help. And, it was great. Last year was very different. So I went from parking didn't need help. I went up and found the race director. She didn't need help. The aid station didn't need help. So I went back to the expo looking for people and ended up being at the expo for the start of the race. So that was sweet because I was one of the, there was a handful of other people around the expo. And I just happened to be there for the first wave going through. So I got to high five some runners. I got to see my friend Lindsay who was running it. I felt bad because by the time I realized it was her, she had gone by and talked to her after. And she said the same thing. I saw you, but by the time I realized it was you, I was already out of the tent. So that was good. And then I was just hanging out in the tent. The live stream was up on the TV already. And because I had the volunteer shirt on, I was getting asked questions. And everybody wanted to buy ice at 5:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning. I was like, yeah, so there's nobody here and I can't run the till. So come back later. Then I reconnected with a woman I'd met during the parking check-in who needed some help. So I was like, I'm supposed to help people. I'll go help you. So I did that and we had a great little chat and yeah, just a very kind, lovely, energetic spirit that was there to pace. And then I was like, okay, I need to okay, we're done with this. I'm going to go find something. So I headed back and yeah, I got assigned a parking and yeah, parking's great. People are great. So kind and friendly and polite. Most of the time, most people were great. Parking had been a big thing last year, so a lot of changes were made this year. 95% of the people were awesome when we were giving them directions, but there's always those few that stick out at you. And let me tell you how fun it is to be volunteering your time and be screamed at by people for their own poor planning. Yeah, it's great. So I was there for about 3.5 hours and it became a very long 3.5 hours. I'm not going to go into it, but it, you can imagine how much fun it is to, yeah, be, screamed at by people for their own poor planning and inability or all the information was in the runner guide and the crew guide. So don't know what to tell people who didn't read it and showed up expecting us to make exceptions for all the stuff they needed. So that was a rough shift. But I was finished with that, and I got some food, and then I went back over to the expo tent, and they needed help with the expo tent, and that was exactly what I needed that time, because I manned the Pacer sign-up booth for a couple hours. So I was just sitting there putting together bib packages. I think it's super cool. Aerovipa does this thing where the box of pins, safety pins, because you need four per bib, or four per bib hold it nice. Safety pins come in singles, so a fairly mindless but exactly what was needed thing. I gave people all the information needed for pacing, and while I was doing that, I was taking single safety pins and putting them into groups of four safety pins, and also helping out. Ice was a very hot commodity. Like I said, I had at least 10 people ask me to buy ice between 5:30 and 6:15 when I went to help my new friend with her crew stuff. So I was like, it's busy. And true story and funny coincidence, when I am working in the summer, every few days the Iceman comes and we get somewhere more than 100 up to a couple thousand bags of ice. So I'm very familiar with loading and unloading, moving, restacking ice into industrial coolers and how to fit the most that you can in there. And I'm just really lucky. For moving ice in the summer, I do not get cold hands. I thermoregulate by movement in the winter, so that would be tougher. But I was like, this is great. Like, it's hot out here. So, you know, playing pass the ice bag to your neighbor, toss the 20-pound ice bag to your neighbor. That was super fun. And then I got to do stuff that I already know how to do. And we got to fit a lot of ice in because it was selling like crazy. They couldn't keep up with it. The gator was coming and going with ice that they were making out in the parking lot. Plus there was a box truck coming in full of ice. And about as soon as it came in, it was sold. But yeah, so that was that. And then that kind of took us about 2 o'clock, and I was like, geez, I'm hungry. And we just got word that food was going to be made. And I knew where the food was, and it was kind of at that point in the race where, you know, there's 15, oh no, we'll say there's about 1,250 people out on the race course somewhere, runners. There's a bunch of crew, there's medics, it's hot, there's Choya. So you've got, you know, folks are coming to the medical tent for dehydration, for nausea, can't keep fluids down. They're dropping left and right. They've, you know, rolled ankles. They've had an unfortunate accident and tripped into a Choya and need to have like softball sized barbs of Choya removed from their body. There's lots going on. And at the same time, we're running out of ice over here. Hey, this aid station running low on Gatorade, or we're almost out of Coke, or we need more water, or we need more sandwich bags. So, you know, being in operations, this is all the stuff I think about, know about. It's a very different experience as a runner getting to an aid station being like, cool, I just wanted ramen. And what do you mean there's no fucking ramen? This is awful. But also realizing, hey, I know there's a ton of things happening right now, and there's only a certain number of people who can deal with them. And, you know, to get out to this aid station, it's a 45-minute drive on a challenging four-wheel drive road. So that's not just going to magically happen. So I was like, all right, well, I know where the food is. And even though I'm pacing later and I've already had a lot of move, like, might as well go get it. So I jogged over to where the food was, got some food, got some water. And I was like, hey, you know, employee who's doing, Aaron, who's amazing, who's doing the registration of the expo. I was like, if I get like 8 lunches, you think that's going to be okay? We've got some of the people here. I can go take them to other people. And then whoever happens to come by, we can give one to. So ran over. I found a big bag. I loaded that up with sandwiches, snacks. I got some water for me. I ran to my truck right quick because it was right there. Changed my shoes because they're annoying me. And then headed back via the main aid station so I could pick up a case of water. And I felt really bad because I had I'm wearing a run vest full of water. I'm carrying this sack with 8 lunches in it. And I'm like, cool, hey, volunteers, I just need to get, you know, a case of water to take down to the expo tent, and I completely misread the situation, and a volunteer was like really willing to help me and carry it for me, and I was like, no, must go now, already taken too long, people are hungry. Did not get that Brittany was just trying to help me, so thanks, Brittany, I misread that. Hangry Greggy is not happy about that. But anyways, I got there, so everybody got lunch, and then I was just like, I'm just gonna, you know, stay here and keep answering Pacer questions. So I did that until about 2:30 when my volunteer thing was done. And I'd agreed because another person I know, Mitzi, had asked if I'd be Ken to compliment her Barbie costume, and we went on to the stage for the fashion show. I was like, well, fuck yeah. So I walked back to my truck. I was covered in dirt, and I was like, I know I'm pacing later, so I might as well take a quick shower because I can. So I did that, and then I put on the socks and shoes I was going to wear for the race, and then got, you know, rested for about an hour, got my stuff ready, and then I walked back to the start-finish line, and I had all the stuff I was going to pace in, the stuff for my costume. I had the massage gun with me. I had the hip hook with me. I was like, well, I'm going to have this weird amount of time where I can probably go and like use the massage gun, use the hip hook, get that open. Super duper regret that I forgot to pack my puffy jacket for when I finished pacing. But that was that. So got back over there, changed into my costume. So I was Christmas Ken. Mitzi already had her Christmas Barbie costume. And we went to the fashion show, and oh my gosh, was that so much fun. We showed up at about 5, the fashion show started about 5:15, so we got all the info, and yeah, we had Christmas Ken and Barbie. We had a whole bunch of characters from Aladdin that I don't remember except for the genie and Jasmine, and those costumes were amazing. They by far gave the best performance at the fashion show. We're not entirely clear on why the mermaids won, because Ken and Barbie started everything off by doing the queen wave as we walked across the stage, and then two-stepping back across the stage with some swings and whatnot in there. So we did a really good performance, and we were by far in the lead until the Jasmine and Genie rubbed the tea kettle for good luck and watched it explode. Shtick. So Georgia and whoever the Genie was, y'all totally won. The mermaid thing is bullshit. But that was okay. We had a great time out there. There were kids that picked up costumes. There were a couple people who wore the same hot dog outfit. It was a good time. There's an amazing clown who I didn't recognize, but later learned is someone that's like a fairly well-known local runner. So just really cool to be hanging out with people that are very good at what they do, but there's no pretentiousness, you know, just sitting there chatting, wearing costumes and having fun. So that was great. And the fashion show finished, and it was time for me to go on stage as Master of Shenanigans. So I actually didn't change. I just changed my hat and walked back over in just my underpants and that sash thing and a bow tie, and danced on stage, or not on stage, but in the corral where runners were coming and going for their loops. That was freaking awesome. Just to be out there with a whole bunch of people, like, again, like I said, like, wow, this is some of the top runners in the area, arguably in the world, and you're up there like dancing in a corral to Queen and to EDM and all kinds of other sing-along songs. That was just, it was a blast. I had a great time. We're high-fiving runners. We got cameramen all around. Tons and tons of fun. It was about that time that I realized, oh, damn it. I cannot find my soft flask, which I really want to have for pacing my 20 miles with Heidi. I'd done this loop before, and yeah, my personal strategy for things is I like the 1.6 to 2 liter camel bladders on the back with the hose, and then I have a 500 mil or 16 ounce, 20 ounce soft flask that I put on usually the left side of my vest up front, and that's for electrolyte beverage. And the phone goes in the other right pocket. So I was 90% certain that I remembered filling it up with ice water in the expo tent before I went to the fashion show, and then I couldn't find it. So I looked through the Hoka bag that I brought, not in there. I looked through the reusable shopping bag that I bought, not in there. And I was like, well, maybe I left it at the expo tent, because I remember that I thought about filling it with water and putting it in ice water. So a friend of mine found my buddy, and I was like, Tony, let's go check it out. And we walked all the way back. So this is like almost, it's about a third of a mile to that. I was like, huh, quarter mile to there. I was like, nope, not here. Well, that sucks. I was trying to rest as much as I can before I go pace, because I know the timing that Heidi was shooting for. I was like, nope, not here. Great. Now I got to go to my truck. It's going to be like over a mile round trip to go to my truck and come back. And I really don't want to walk a mile, because I know I'm still looking at 20 miles of pacing plus whatever I'm going to do after pacing. It's like, I should not be doing this. And I looked at my watch and I'm like, cool. So I'm already at 8 miles of activity and I've still got 20 to pace. And there's a chance at that point, there's a chance I was going to pace someone else. So I'm looking at a 50 mile day. I was like, well, all right, I got to go back anyway. So I walked back to my truck, got all the way over there. Can't find the flask. I'm like, Jesus. All right, fine. But I had brought the wrong hat. So I got the hat. Still didn't cross my mind to get something warm to put on, like that amazing leopard print blanket that I was given last javelina, a puffy jacket, nothing. Nope, 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 nope. That was that. So walked back over and was like, well, where on earth is it? I should probably check in that hoka bag. And lo and behold, I just didn't look good enough in the hoka bag. So I'd walked 2 miles almost between all the stuff that I did, looking for something that was 5 feet away from me the entire time. Hooray, Greggy. It was a long day. And then I was at the finish line. So I was actually at the finish line, start finish line for all of the top people in the 100 mile. Got to be there for the men's winner, the men's top three, the women's winner. And I got a massive high five from the pacer of the women. Heather Jackson's pacer was Devin Yanko. So I got a massive high five as Heather finished. So that was super cool. And then just to be there and see, you know, it was a strange experience. I may one day be on a podium. There's a ton of media that show up just for the podium stuff and the finish line things. And they're not there when I finish at 1 in the morning of 100K. So that was something that I was aware of and an experience at Black Canyon. And I was really excited at first 100K, and I finished it and was like, oh, there's like nobody here. The volunteers look like they're just like not enthusiastic. And then to try and find someone to take a photo of me with the finish line behind me, I was like, the photos are awful. So that was on my mind a lot, of how can I make someone's experience better that's going to be finishing in the dark? Because it was kind of a letdown to finish the first completion I have at that distance. I mean, like, cool, I'm really excited. Like, this is, I did it. And yeah, cool. So hooray, other Greg over there. Like, you just did something awesome. Nobody cares. So that was my focus. So, yeah, high-fiving people, hanging out, having fun. And all of a sudden, I was checking on where Heidi was, and she was going to be coming in pretty quick. So texted her husband, communicated him a bit, and then I walked down and found the crew tent, and I sat there and waited for her to come in. And Heidi came in, we chatted a little bit, got some food in her, I did some final adjustments to my shoes, and we were good to go. And we started off pacing, and she's like, yeah, I've got a pacer, I just don't really want to talk a lot. I'll just be in front. If you'd be behind me so I can see your headlight, that's great. And I was like, all right, perfect. I've talked to a lot of people today. I've been standing in front of a giant speaker dancing for the last 7 hours. I've had my earplugs in. So I was like, I'm good to go. The beat of the last EDM was in my head. There was a heavy bass. And I was like, this is perfect. I'm just cruising along in the desert on a beautiful full moon night. You could see the trail. I mean, it definitely helped having a headlamp. There were times when I turned off my light just to look around. But yeah, so we took off and we got maybe a mile or two, and I have a really high powered waist light it was the first time I'd used it on a run, and like it casts shadows if you're shining it 30 feet away. It is powerful. And it was really challenging. I can only imagine how challenging it was for Heidi to run with because of the shadow. It was casting her shadow over where she was trying to see. So she asked if we could switch up. And for the next 18 miles, I just picked a pace where I could hear her running behind me or walking behind me. And I was like, perfect, we're good to go. If I was going too fast or got too far ahead, you know, I could hear, she'd let me know, but that we had a great system going. As we were approaching Coyote Camp, the aid station at mile 4, I saw my friend Emily on the trail, and I thought I had a peanut butter cup left in my vest. I grabbed a couple from the aid station while volunteering, and I was like, okay, I've got peanut butter cups. Emily likes peanut butter cups. I'll give her a peanut butter cup. So, okay, like, Emily, how's it going? Give her a big hug on the side of the trail. High five Amanda who she's pacing. Amanda's incredible. And I was like, hey, you want a peanut butter cup? And I was like, yeah. So I open, you know, I just reach into my vest, grab the first thing I feel and hand it to her. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I got to go, got to pace and take off. And then I hear, what the hell is this? This isn't a peanut butter cup. It's a chocolate goo gel. And I was like, oh no. So she was kind of annoyed, but that's okay. And we got to Coyote Camp. Heidi sat down. I went and got the food, brought it back. I refilled the bottles and everything. And lo and behold, Emily and Amanda come in. And they're like, what the? Dude, that was not a peanut butter cup. So we had this very playful banter going on about peanut butter cups. And I was like, well, all right, cool. Like, I'm going to owe you a peanut butter cup. High-fived them again. And then we headed back out on the trail. And it was fun. Just, you know, that was where it's a big long stretch, about six and a bit miles to Jackass Junction from there. And again, just cruising along. Just every so often we'd pass somebody. I'd, you know, tell them they're doing awesome, wish them good luck. And then we'd keep plodding along. And lo and behold, we were at Jackass, and kind of the same thing happened. Got in there. Heidi went to sit down and do some stretching. So I grabbed her bottles and got her bottles filled, got her the snacks she wanted, talked to the volunteers a little bit, used bathroom myself, got my stuff filled up, and then we were on the way. And the next little bit from, it's about another roughly six miles from there into Rattlesnake Ranch, and from there you're 3.5 miles to the finish. So going into Rattlesnake, you can see the lights at Rattlesnake from a long way away. And it feels like it is the longest 6 miles ever, because you're like, I can see the light. And the light's not getting closer. And when I paced it last year, it was a little bit demoralizing to be like, oh my God, will it ever get close? But I knew how far away it was this year, so it was a good marker and reference point to have. It was a little weird because at one point we're running along and all of a sudden I see 5 headlights running towards me. And I was like, well, what in the hell is going on here? This doesn't make sense. There's a bunch of runners that running together that were convinced they had lost the trail. And I was like, no, the trail goes straight ahead. I'm entirely certain the trail is what you were on. You are going in the wrong way. They weren't super certain of me. So I was like, no, we're going, just follow me. So I kept going, Heidi kept going. And then eventually I noticed that all the headlamps were behind me. So that was good, but it was also a little confusing because the people who are out there would have been on loop 3 or 4s. You've already done the course a couple times and there was no possible place that there could have been a trail junction that they missed or anything. This is very confusing for me running along to see all these headlamps running back in my direction. That was all right. We got into Rattlesnake and they had pizza. So Heidi wanted to try a piece of pizza and I went and got that. I got myself a quesadilla, filled the bottles. I was like, Heidi, we got to make a video for your friend Mac, who got her buckle last year. Because Rattlesnake is where I met her, where I met you, and where I saw her again when she was finishing. And she was giving me a hard time for telling her that she needed to finish. So you're welcome, Mac, if you're out there listening. You're welcome. So we made a little playful video message that Heidi sent off to Matt, because at this time it's like sometime between 2 and 4 a.m. I don't remember what. I wasn't looking at my phone at all, and my watch doesn't have the time when it's in the run mode. So I was just checking to see what our paces were and how we were looking for the goal Heidi had. And that was that. So yeah, I got her the pizza and brought it over, and she took a bite, was like, nope, I do not want pizza. And I had just got a quesadilla and taken a bite, and I was like, and the quesadilla was hot. The pizza was cold. She's like, oh, that quesadilla looks awesome. So I gave her my quesadilla, went back and got two more. So she had two, I had one. Filled her bottles. I was like, you know what? I want to finish this. Like, I will be perfectly fine for the next 3.5 miles. I'll get stuff at the finish. And I've got so much food in my truck. That was great. So we took off, and that was the point. I'm probably going to cry recording this, but that was the point. I was like, she's going to get it. She's going to hit everything. At no point was it in doubt. Heidi was awesome. You know, she had just told me like, hey, I'm doing this. Hey, I'm doing this. I'd like to do this. No major body issues, no nausea, no puking. You know, and I had been fully prepared, like, okay, this is my plan. If all of a sudden, like, you need to puke, this is my plan for holding back hair and whatnot. So didn't have to none of that happened, which is very fortuitous, and also a testament to Heidi being a total badass. So we're running along and we're getting close, and I'm familiar with the trail from doing it in the dark last year, and a couple times in the light. And I was like, okay, so we're going to come here. We go to this junction, we make a slight right, and then a little bit further, there's a junction and there's a major right, and you can see the lights, you can hear the bass, and we're at the finish line. And then I see another headlight walking towards us. I'm like, what in earth is going on? Like, it's a full moon. Is everybody going insane right now? You can hear the finish line. I'm like, do not be turning around and coming back at me, runner. But it turns out it was a friend of hers who'd walked out to look for her. So I was like, oh, hey, have a good day. And she's like, yeah, I'm just here looking for my girl. And I was like, all right. And I ran by, and the next thing I hear is like a scream, and they're hugging each other, because that was Heidi's friend. So Zoe ran out to see us. So that was cool. So yeah, Heidi and I kept going, and we're pretty close. I texted Heidi's husband to say like, hey, you know, we're going to be at the loop in 15 seconds. So they knew, and they were ready to come meet us. And they'd already been tracking. So you come out of the connector trail into the main corral area, start finish expo, or yeah, you come out of it up right at the start of the Shalmo Wash, and then you've just got the last of the loop to go. So they were already there, and we ran as a group. And big question I had was like, Heidi, like, what would you like me to do at the finish? And she's like, what do you want to do at the finish? And I was like, oh, well, last year, you know, my runner asked if I would not cross the finish with him, which was totally fine. So I'm like, whatever you like, I am here to make sure you finish and get you as close to your goal as possible. So whatever you want to do. She's like, you got to run beside me. So that was that. So we did the last loop together, and I'm going to cry. I just saw the video today of, I knew that we crossed together, and then Zoe and a couple of people were, there's a couple on the other side, a couple were behind. So I just today, Heidi posted the video of us crossing the finish line and her getting her buckle, which was really powerful. That was a huge accomplishment for her. So, you know, we got some photos taken, got the race photographer to take a couple, everybody kind of had their phone out. You know, did a bunch of photos, chatted for about the finish, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, you're pretty tired, and the rest of the crew was ready to go home. So I walked back. I'd left my little bags at their crew tent, and I was like, yeah, I'll just grab my bags. And I did that and walked back up to the race finish, because I'd noticed when we came in, I think it was about 4:30 in the morning, just after 4:30, that there was one volunteer in the start finish, and I knew that multiple volunteers are needed for that. So I walked back up and I saw Jubilee, the race director, and I was like, hey, you need another volunteer down here? I was like, what can I do to help? And she's like, I need you here. So I said, perfect, that's great. Only thing is, I had started to get cold, because, you know, I'd run 20 miles in the dark at a really good pace for the last 20 miles of a 100-miler that Heidi did. Incredible. So I was like, okay, well, now that I'm not moving, and since I thermoregulate by movement, I need more clothes. And I regretted that I hadn't brought my puffy with me, because I would have put my puffy on and stood there. Didn't happen. I actually missed a couple people's finish that I really wanted to see, because guess what? For the fourth time that day, I got to walk another mile to and from my truck to get my puffy. Hooray. But I did take the chance to switch my shoes from the ones I'd run into my other trail runners so they'd be comfy. And also just walked into the shower and did a quick dust off of my face so I felt like I was awake. And then by 10 after 5, I was back at the start-finish line, dancing, handing out awards, had a great time. Once it got to be around sunrise, the photographer showed up again. So they were there with, you know, doing their good shots. And then it was really cool working with the two very well-renowned race photographers. And, you know, like, what can I do to help make your shot better? And, you know, it was great. I haven't seen them yet. I'm very looking forward to seeing Scott Rokas and Howie Stern's photos of just like, you know, because the photos, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that. So just do your volunteer thing and do some play acting, do some high-fiving. I gave a whole bunch of hugs to people. I got tackled by a couple runners for, they were so excited. Got to see pretty much everyone that I know that was out there finish, with the exception of a new friend that I'd met the day of the race. So, because yeah, in that brief little period where I went back to my truck and came back, her runner finished. So congratulations, Sophia, and your runner. And that was that. So, state of the runners have 30 hours to finish. So golden hours, 11, well, golden air quote hours from roughly 11 or 12 until, no, think correctly, Greg. 11:30 to 12:30. 11 to 12 is the golden hour for people that started in wave one at 6, and then a little bit half hour later for the half hour later. So that was really cool and really powerful to be there and see all the emotion that runners and families were experiencing as they crossed the finish line. You know, there's people came in sideways leaning, kind of hobbling. People came in sprinting as fast as they could. I got to be there. Like I said, Emily's been a good friend since we connected as run ambassadors with Dirtbag Runners way back in 2020. Hung out with her and her boyfriend a bit at Black Canyon. Saw her at Last Javelina. No, was she at Last Javelina? I don't remember now. Black Canyon. And yeah, saw her again there. So that was great that we got to hang out at the finish. She got me a coffee, which is very much appreciated, so I didn't have to walk back and forth again. And then we both got to watch Amanda finish. So I actually filmed Emily giving Amanda her buckle. So congratulations out there, Amanda. Hoping to have Amanda on the podcast here to talk about her first 100 experience coming in from the Adirondacks to the desert in high temps to finish 100-miler. But that was really cool. So I filmed that. And then, yeah, I was, you know, taking people's cameras and taking finish line photos, doing what we could to motivate people. And then was there for, to see the last official, finisher, the last official finisher who got a buckle, as well as, there was a woman who didn't quite make the official cutoff. So several of us stayed. Jubilee and I were there when that entourage came across the finish line. And that's really tough to, you know, miss a cutoff by like 10 or 11 minutes. No buckle, no anything, but you know you can do it. So I don't know the runner's name, but congratulations. And from there, I'd been up since 3:30, and it was now 1:30 the next day. So that's 24 plus, that's 34 straight hours at that point. And I was like, okay, I'm feeling kind of tired. So I'm going to do some setup and then, come shower. And I walked over and saw Ghibli, and she was like, "Hey, you got to come over here. I got something for you." So for the second year in a row, I was given the Volunteer Service Award from Aravaipa. So I have this super cool howling coyote that Aravaipa Artworks made that I'm going to post on social media a little bit later here today. I'm recording this on Wednesday, November the 1st, because didn't get around to it on Halloween. Crazy. A year ago, Halloween, I was interviewing Megan Kupres at Tempe Town Lake in the middle of a Halloween party, which was crazy. Crazy how time flies in a year. But anyways, no, so that was my experience. Had a couple photos taken, and then I went and helped clean up the media tent, the start-finish line a bit, and I was like, okay, cool, I think I'm done. That was a lot. I mean, I'd had the little two-ish hour break between volunteering, time off, volunteering, pacing, volunteering, and I was like, yeah, I'm pretty tired. I don't have the energy at the moment to go and do 8 more hours of takedown. So I had that. I got my stuff that had been in the camping area all organized up. Jen dropped me off at my truck, which was very appreciated. Had a nice long shower, shaved, got organized again, and was, yeah, just feeling really good. And then I was like, and then I got invited to go and camp back over by the expo, because the whole camping had been cleaned out. And I was like, well, yeah, that's great. So I showered, drove my truck over there, flipped up the camp stove, made myself an omelet, because I hadn't even got to making okonomiyaki for everybody that I was supposed to on Friday night, because so much other stuff happened. So made myself dinner. I was like, I'm going to bed. And about that time, I'm just cleaning up my stove and putting it away so the coyotes don't show up tonight at night. And I turn around, there's a Scottish dude there. He's like, hey, man. And I recognized him from coming through and from chatting with him at the pacing booth. He's like, so I got a bag of ice and I got a cake and I'm trying to get rid of them. And the catch is you got to take both of them. And I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, I would love a bag of ice, because I had frozen water bottles that were in my cooler to keep it cold, and they've been unfrozen. That was on Tuesday. They were frozen when I drove out there. So I was like, the cooler is cooler, but it ain't cold. So very happy to get that ice. I did not want a cake. If you've listened to the past, I don't really like cake. It looked like it was a very nice birthday cake and all that. I was like, I'm not going to eat it, but if I got to take it, I got to take it. And after seeing how much that didn't need to be in a landfill was in the overflowing garbage bins when we were doing takedown, I was like, and I can't see any more perfectly good food get thrown away. So I took it and I filled my cooler with ice. I filled all my water bottles with ice. That was very, very much appreciated. I'm very grateful for that. I didn't even get the runner's name or anything other than dude had an accident. I was just about getting ready to bed and my buddy Lee is like, oh, Greggy, hey, like I got to unload the trailer and I don't want to take all this food back home with me. So you hungry? You need some food? And then he started giving me stuff. I got a bag of roasted potatoes. I got some chicken breast. I got spaghetti. I got vegetables. And I was like, thanks, my man. Like, this is totally unexpected. Volunteered to crew me at any time I ever need it. So that was, again, just very much appreciated. And he's like, yeah, bud, and I told you to camp over here so I could hook up the generator. You can charge your laptop and your electronics and stuff. I was like, oh my God, like the run community is so kind and thoughtful and just high quality people. So super grateful for that. And with that, I ran the extension cord over to my truck, plugged stuff up. I was like, I'm going to bed, because I was going to be up and doing a fun run. I'm not going to set an alarm. And then kapow, just after 5, the Ragnar folks showed up with their giant box trucks. And I was like, well, great. Now I'm awake. Hooray. I had an amazing night on Sunday night not watching sunset. I was facing the west. So watching the sunset in the east, facing east, watching the sunset in the, no. The sunset was behind me in the west. I was watching the mountains in the east to see 4 peaks and all the colors change over 4 peaks. So that was glorious. And that was that. I forgot that Emily and Amanda's crew had given me a tent, a 10x10 camp pop-up tent. I was like, this is sweet. So now my friends here in the valley, there's a communal 10x10 tent because it's great. And it, if I take it with me, it doesn't allow me to get in or out of the truck very easily or to camp. And whenever the amazing girlfriend shows up, we need that space to sleep on. So don't have that at the moment, but that's not a critical deal because it's going to stay here, so anybody who needs it can use it, and that feels really good to me. So yeah, I didn't end up going out on what I thought I might be doing on Monday, but I got up and I did a great 10-mile run along part of the course again on a different trail in McDowell. Had a shower, chatted with the Ragnar folks, and then that was that. That finished off my hoveling experience. It was another hell of a good time. Dancing with people, hanging out, high-fiving, it's what I live for. You know, it's been super fun. Very appreciative to be given the service award again. I know how hard the race director works, how hard all the Aravaipa people are working, and how much money and time people have put into training for 100-miler, getting themselves out to Phoenix, Airbnbs, rental cars, buying pop-up tents, buying food, all your training food, all your gear. It's a magical thing to be a part of, and I'm really grateful for that. And you know, if you're not a part of the run community, the trail community thing, if it's something you think you might want to do or might want to do one day, go volunteer at a local trail race. They're pretty much always can use people to do something. No part of it's hard. You might be slicing fruit, you might be making sandwiches, you might be moving water bottles, you might be opening water bottle lids for people, bladder lids for people, high-fiving them, using your massage gun on the right shoulder of a professional photographer because their arm is so sore from doing the same motion 6,000 times that day. I really hope someone got some photos at the finish line of me giving Scott a massage gun massage, because like this is the stuff that goes on. You know, it's all community. So highly recommend you check it out. And Aravaipa is such a great organization to support. You know, I'm running Aravaipa races. I've spent a lot of time out on course at their races. I've volunteered a bunch, and just the people have been fantastic. So highly recommend. But with that, yeah, that is the wisdom of the wilderness. Go out and do it. I met a ton of cool people this year. Ton of cool people last year, heading out to a group run tonight, a different group run tomorrow, got a race in 2 weeks on the 11th, another informal one I just heard about after that, and then a couple more races going up to Coldwater 100 in January. So y'all should come join me at Coldwater Rumble in January. There's a whole bunch of distances, January 20th at Estrella Mountain Regional Park, I think is the name of it. It's going to be awesome. And yeah, if you're going to go or you're thinking about going, like, message me. Let's get a group together. We can use the communal 10x10 foot tent. And you can fly in and have a great sunny, warm experience down here in Arizona. So without further ado, because I could ramble for quite a while, friends. The sun has been blasting me here on the deck of my friend's place while I'm recording it, so I'm going to go and take my shirt off and try and even out this ridiculous tan that I've got. Trying to even out these tan lines on my legs, and catch you on the next episode of the Wisdom of the Wilderness podcast. Take care, friends, and please leave me a 5-star review. Tell people how awesome this is. Share it with your friends, because there are tons of people I can interview that have something to share, and I would love to get chatting tomorrow. All right, we will catch you on the flip-flop. Greggy, out. And thank you very much for joining me on today's episode, friends. It is always fun for me to record these, and I do hope you get a lot out of them. As always, if you enjoyed this, please share with your friends, your family members, your colleagues, your coworkers, your hairdresser, the guy at the restaurant, wherever you're going. I do my best to research these and give a lot of good information, and there's a lot of people out there that can benefit from hearing the stories and also having that perspective shift that can come along with listening. As well, if you get a chance, I do encourage you, it really helps me out if you can leave a 5-star review at the podcast platform you're listening to, as well as maybe even write something. So
yeah, if you get a chance, please do that. I prefer Apple Podcasts is how I listen to things, but I know that Stitcher's out there, Spotify's out there, Google Play or Google Podcasts, there's a whole bunch of them. So if you get a chance, please do drop a 5-star rating and leave a review. That would be fantastic. And with that, have a wonderful day, friends. We will catch you on the next episode of The Wisdom of the Wilderness.